Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell live from State Farm Arena. It's, of course, getting ready for the Hawks and the Magic tonight. Also, the great Crowning Courage event with the folks at Crown Royal and the folks with the Atlanta Hawks. Of course, Hawks tonight against the Magic. And after the game tonight, you can be able to tune in tomorrow morning at 7:40. John and Hugh will interview Coach Lloyd Pierce. It's brought to you by BMW, as they do every Thursday on The Morning Show.
Great time here at State Farm, as we mentioned, with the tribute to the military and the vets tonight. We'll tell you more about that. But the Court of Dreams just wrapped up, where local middle school kids get a chance to play on an NBA court and have a blast. And much like their NBA idols, these guys are just launching threes and trying to take it to the rack. There's not a lot of I joked around. I was tongue-in-cheek, for those not catching my drift, on Mike Bell ATL on Twitter. But I said, man, you know, the NBA is ruining middle school jump shots. It's all about the three, man. But Model High School and Cusa, kind of a battle of Rome, 49 points was the margin of victory. So I kind of undersold it when I had him as a 10-point
favorite.
Nothing
going on in the painted area like right. UB Brown.
But it was just so cool to see these guys. And there's some guys look like little Steph Currys out there. And you got, I mean, guys that look like they could be the next Zion. But it's just so much fun. They're having a ball, you know, on an NBA court, launching threes, man. And it was really entertaining to watch them doing it.
Yeah, great entertaining stuff from them. And also a great initiative there by the Hawks, something that they've done for a bunch of schools all across the state, and very, very happy that we got a chance to witness it, and a moment that these kids will remember for their entire lives. Of course, the big boys play tonight, Hawks and Magic. We'll talk more about that coming up. Also, D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to join us from the Combine to talk about the Falcons' angle going on in Indianapolis. But before that, let's blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, a lot of confusion about what the Players Association is doing with the offer the NFL owners have thrown out there. One of the things we learned today was, I saw this on NFL Network this morning on Good Morning Football, that the NFL raised the ante. You're not just going to make an extra $250,000 for Week 17. The star is, that's not even a full game check for the guys that are making the big money, the top 10%. So that sounded like, okay, the way to reach out and make sure these guys are compensated. But now you got guys like Russell Wilson opposing the CBA, and apparently the vote changed from 6-5 against to 7-4 against the collective bargaining approval. And we'll see if this thing, the collective bargaining agreement's approval, we'll see how this goes to the rank and file membership and if this is going to die. The owners have blustered that this is the only deal you're going to get, which is crap because we got a year until the CBA's up. But this is the first salvo in this battle.
Well, you know why they're trying to strong-arm this thing through. They want to make sure that they get the renegotiation for the TV deal.
Bingo.
They want to make sure that they can get the prime price for that extra game that gets on the schedule, and they want to get that game on the schedule as quickly as possible. They're saying maybe it might be as soon as 2021, but the Players Association wants to put it, kick the can on down the line, maybe be it as late as 2023. I don't like the idea of an odd number of games, Mike. I also think that we're going to see something along the lines of, I don't want to say load management, but we might see something that is similar to that because of the fact that you're going to have that extra game and people wanting to make sure that they don't mess with the merchandise, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I, as a guy that we usually advocate on this show for the players, because you got a finite amount of time to make as much money as you can. The average career is just about a tick over 3 years. So I understand the side of where the players are coming from. Mm-hmm. And the owners, you're making, if you want to look at the numbers, take it, and we talked about this last week out in Vegas, $16 billion is the gross. The net will be around anywhere between $9 and $10 billion. $100 billion. So initially when you heard that, well, it'll make $100 million more. It sounds great to the average fan, the average Joe out there, but it's the unreality of what these guys can do. They deserve more money. Another bye week. Why don't make? There's no one's going to complain about extending football.
Right.
I think most of our listeners, we did a poll question. It was running about 55-45 as far as for it. The extra week. By the way, I haven't worked with you in a while. Do you like the extra week of regular season?
I don't. I don't like it at all. I think that you need these guys. You can't sit here and say we're so-and-so about player safety and all of a sudden say, oh, we're going to play another game and give you another chance to get yourself hurt. Like, that's the whole part of this. It rings very, very hollow. And, again, the fact that they're only taking away the one preseason game tells me more about how concerned they are about losing the gate. They want to make sure they get as much money as possible. And because of that, you know, the whole decision rings hollow for me. It seems very much in the self-centered eyes of the owners. It doesn't really do much for the players, especially if they don't get the full share in that 17th game check.
Well, there's also the dynamic on the Players Association side that not everybody's on board with their rep, with the DeMaurice Smith. Apparently Richard Sherman, Russell Okung, and Adam Vinatieri are some of the guys that are the most vocally opposed to this deal. The good news is at least they've started it. We were talking about this last week out in Vegas, right there for the fight. At least there is a dialogue. I just don't like the fact where the NFL goes, here's your deal, take it or leave it, because that's not a negotiation.
That's bad faith.
That's nonsense, you know, especially when there's just so much money around. Adam Schefter had tweeted it out earlier, and it was inaccurate. A lot of people caught him and said, what are you talking about how the players are going to get closer to a 48.5 split, which is not even close. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. That's a $5 billion increase for the players. The owners are not going to move it any closer. You're never going to get to where the NHL has an even split. The NBA is actually walking the player share back in their new CBA.
Certainly so. We'll see whether or not that full vote ends up going and passing when it comes to the CBA. Of course, a lot of coaches sitting out there and holding court in Indianapolis as the combine stuff continues, measurements, interviews, and the like. Here's Matt Rhule, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, who puts it right out there. He's excited to work with Cam Newton if healthy.
I'm unbelievably excited to get a chance to work with Cam. I mean, he is a diligent guy. He's working so hard, both in Atlanta and in Carolina, to get himself healthy. You know, you meet him, he's this massive man, impressive man, and I've really enjoyed getting to know him.
I find it hard to believe, Mike, that he takes that job without some sort of clarity on what exactly the plan is.
Well, I thought the plan was going to be we're going to go draft a quarterback, or we're going to try to find somebody as a stopgap while we get another quarterback ready, because it just seems like Cam was on his way out. It just seemed like a foregone conclusion. That's what's so funny about Ian Rappaport's report yesterday, going, oh, no, Cam he's rehabbing, and they're happy with the rehab, and they can't even trade him. I mean, the reality of it is, and we're not knocking Cam, he's been banged up of late. They can't even trade this guy because no team is going to take a guy. They don't know what his status is going to be.
Yeah, and that's the hard part right now. I don't even know who would, like, what's a team out there that would want to take that risk? I don't know if there is one. Like, would Washington take that risk, especially with Rivera having the connection with him?
That's one place which has been listed as a potential landing spot. There's a couple other teams out there. I know that it's funny because every time there's a veteran quarterback out there on the market, John Elway seems to want to kick the tires.
Right.
But I just said, look, when Cam is an MVP quality, you know, 100%, he's a guy that uses his size to get the ball in the red zone and run, use his feet. But you just don't look at him as the same guy. How's he going to be that same kind of dual threat when he can't move? You know, the lower body injuries, already had the shoulder problems. So it just seems to me like and it's an operation game. Why would you be willing to take that risk? I mean, and especially you're not going to go hand him another contract because Cam's going to want what the market's paying. And how can you give a guy that's dealing with that a $30 million deal a year?
From vagueness in the NFC South to the same kind of thing in the AFC South, Mike Vrabel says he doesn't know whether or not the Titans are going to bring back Ryan Tannehill. Of course, their names have been mentioned when it comes to the potential courting of Tom Brady. How do you think that mess ends? Because I honestly think that the Vrabel-Brady thing could have some legs.
Well, I mean, it's funny that a guy like Tannehill would get himself a big contract out of coming in relief and doing just slightly better than what they asked, you know, the previous quarterback to do.
Right.
So, I mean, he does throw a beautiful long ball that got some good players to build around. If you're Tom Brady, to have a guy like Derrick Henry tote in the mail, I just don't see it. Vrabel kind of threw some cold water on it today up in Indianapolis. The guy that really seems like he's more than willing to roll the dice is Bruce Arians down in Tampa Bay.
He's, you know, it's weird. The whole thing is just, especially because we're talking about how that affects Jameis, and that's the other part of that I find interesting, because he said he looked like he wanted to fix Jameis and looked like he might have tried to fix him, but of course the interceptions were still up. That part of that whole story is kind of weird.
You know, he says players have to want to be back and teams have to make decisions. The Titans have a franchise tag they could throw on Tannehill in the meantime.
Right.
But, you know, just it's amazing how he goes from, you know, one man's trash to another man's treasure. And I just thought, you know, he when you have a running back that was so overwhelmingly the big part of the game plan, it's hard to validate giving Ryan Tannehill anything more than $25 million, which seems even then seems too much.
Exactly.
But he's got to, because that's the fair market value right now.
It's not always about what they're worth. It's always about who's next. That's the thing we talk about when it comes to the NFL quarterbacks. Speaking of quarterbacks, Stephen Jones drawing a line in the sand saying Dak Prescott is our quarterback.
It's not playing, so I will do the Stephen Jones voice. Danny, I say the line's in the sand. We're going here no further. Danny, my head came off. Too bad your head wasn't in it. You didn't come poop. There's no way you could come from my loins. But, Danny, we told Dak we ain't going to pay him that kind of money. I say we go get the tongue of a lower, and then we can franchise Dak. What do you think, Danny? It's not a bad idea. Anyway, that's where they're going. And, by the way, too, if you didn't hear it last week, it was kind of funny. We were joking that, like, that's kind of throwing some shade at an established NFL quarterback and Dak Prescott by saying, you know, I love the Cowboys as a kid. I'd love to go and wear a baseball cap while I get healthy.
In other words,
like, that's totally crazy. And I don't know if he realizes what he's saying and how that might be perceived. Because, I mean, listen, NFL players don't perceive it the way radio hosts do, but it sure seemed like shade to me.
Yeah, it seemed like uncouth comments, if you will.
And by the way, I mean, with Dak, if you look at last year's numbers, it really is solid. And I was pooping on Kellen Moore, the OC, and maybe the red zone needs to come up. But certainly, his production was everything you would ask for a guy who's going to make north of $30 million. You can't argue with last year.
You can't. And I think, too, he wasn't the reason why they didn't have success last year. That's the biggest part. I think, you know, you didn't have the skill position players around him. Zeke didn't have the best year either. And because of that, I think, like you said, he's earned the cash. Speaking of any reunion with Antonio Brown, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kevin Colbert, says, we're not doing it. We're not going to entertain it. Antonio Brown recently apologized to Ben Roethlisberger and also says he believes that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play and play well. And you could even see a better Big Ben than when he actually came off the field last year and did not play.
Right. Here's a guy that, he's not done the full apology. We joked around about if you're going to really throw yourself on the mercy of the NFL and the fans and the everything else, you got to do it big. You got to go and have Robin Roberts do the interview. Or you go on with Gail on CBS. Right. But he's been kind of apologizing piecemeal. Right. He's done some interviews with ESPN. We talked about the Mia Kimes that he did? He did one of those interviews. But I think he's realizing now, I mean, you're blowing it. You just got to say, I got some mental health issues. I want to get it straightened out. And again, maybe it's cathartic if he's throwing it out to the Steelers, but the Steelers are like, you know what, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And the job that Tomlin did, knowing what a maniac Antonio Brown was, he seems even more impressive, even the years they didn't make the playoffs.
And the other part of it, too, with him is that I don't think we ever saw somebody fall that hard, because we kept on asking about where was bottom for him.
Right.
And he fell to a bottom that I think is lower than – I think anybody really has since Vic. Not to compare the two guys, but I'm saying you had to come back a long way up, and he's still digging.
And the thing with him is they have not concluded the NFL's investigation of the alleged sexual assault for the women that have spent time at his house. So that's still, what do you want to call it, the NFL's version of a Japanese inspection where you let the lettuce just rot on the dock.
Mm.
They're kind of keeping him in limbo, as it were. We started the conversation on the NFL Blitz talking about the labor issues. I mentioned Russell Wilson publicly opposing the CBA. We're talking about the leadership when I gave you the vote. The majority, though, of all the guys out there on the 32-member board of player reps, it was 17-4, 14 against. So when you go back and you look at it, I mean, are we going to have some guys changing sides? Are there going to be some power plays here for guys who maybe want to move the head of the union out, DeMaurice Smith? You think the players are going to rock and roll with this? You think we'll have this thing done?
I'm not sure. Well, here's the other part of it, too, is that you have to think about how many people will be benefited by getting that extra game check versus the guys who are not going to hit that threshold.
I just think as we get older and the generations separate and the same ethics that we used to apply where, look, I'm standing on the shoulders of these guys who are the top 10 percenters, but now I don't think that kind of loyalty exists.
No.
I don't think guys – remember the last labor union issues, the veterans are like, you know, we want to get that pension going. Guys are like, what's a pension?
Right.
You know, so I think – and Squidbill and I were talking about this before the show – I think the rank and file is going to sign off on this.
Oh, I think so too.
Thing is going to get done, but I think it's going to create some really, really hurt feelings with a bunch of dudes in the league.
Well, I think, too. I mean, you think about the guys that like Kadri Allison and, you know, guys on that level,
mm-hmm.
they're going to look at players like Matt Ryan and be like, listen, I need that game check. I need that extra Skrilla.
But the 10% of the guys that you pay to see, and those guys are not going to be happy about this.
It's also that extra $100,000 a year for the minimum salary. And more players in this league are minimum salary than Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson, and that's the thing. So they have more of a say because right. they have a bigger number, and that's why I think personally this has a good chance of passing it.
You hear like the J.J. Watts coming out against it and the Russell Wilsons. These are the guys, again, they don't benefit from this, but as you just Squibbly just laid out, the worker bees do.
Yes, and there's less of the guys on J.J. Watts level than there are on the guys on the minimum salary level. We're here at State Farm Arena, guys, Hawks and Magic tonight. Of course, join the Hawks as they take on the Brooklyn Nets this Friday, February 28th at State Farm Arena. Get your tickets online at hawks.com/tickets. We're going to talk to who next, Mike Bell?
Again, we told you don't do the impressions. D-Lads coming up next. Hey guys, it's our NFL Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. D-Lad on the dysfunction or just a misunderstanding between the GM and the head coach of the Combine? Next. Oh, yeah, you hear the music, and you know that spaceship is about to come down. And all of a sudden, you got the smoke and the fog. And here he comes, Bootsy Collins and D-Led, man. D. Orlando Ledbetter joins us, our man with the Falcons, and talking about the Combine and more. He joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. What's going on, D?
Hey, not too much, Mike, and just trying to make it through the snow up here.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, blizzard of 2020 is rolling through. Hey, man, is it much to do about nothing, or what should Falcon fans take from the fact that Dan Quinn and Thomas were kind of like on split opinions on Tack McKinley?
It's no big deal. That stuff happens all the time, but now everybody's got a phone in their hands trying to put out their breaking news and stuff, you know. At the end of the day, you get back to, you know, the main point. So, you know, that's usually the purview of the GM anyway, so... And you usually stick to football stuff with the coach. So no big deal in my mind. But, you know, folks gonna make big deals out of everything nowadays on social media.
Ultimately, what do you think happens, D? Do you think this will be something where they let him play out, or do you think he is really done after his fourth season?
No, yeah, they let him play out. They need him to play. They don't have anybody. So, I mean, you see guys playing in contract years, all of a sudden, you know, they turn into, you know, pretty good players when some money's on the line. So you could use it as a motivational option. There's no reason to give it to him. He hasn't done anything. So, you know, I blogged about that this morning.
Right.
So I believe they've made a decision. They just weren't ready to make it public. And we'll see that in the coming weeks.
The AJC's D-Led with his dear Orlando Ledbetter. And do you like the guys other than Chase Young? Because it's like Chase Young, as we said yesterday, D, is at a whole other level. But who do you like? And you think we pulled the trigger on defensive end edge rusher in the first round?
Yeah, I don't like anybody at 16. So I was talking to John Clayton about that this morning. We both kind of concurred that that's too high for Espinosa and Clavion Chaisson. Really, maybe the best move would be to trade out of there. So, I mean, there's nobody in this draft other than Chase Young that can come into the NFL and really help you out. The mid-trap did talk about the Iowa kid a lot, but, you know, even him talking about, hey, we got to see if he's got an upside. Hey, he's probably maxed out at Iowa and what he's going to be as a player. And sometimes the Big Ten guys come in and play, you know, and be steady for 10 years and turn into good, solid pros. But, I mean, you know, if you're looking for an attack, defensive end, you know, and good, solid pro, those are two different things.
Atlanta Falcons beat reporter D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us from the AJC and joining us from the NFL Combine. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What did you make of the other big news yesterday, D? We found out that Austin Hooper, Devondre Campbell, Wes Schweitzer all will be allowed to test the free agency market. Seems like they will cover at a very big price, something that Falcons don't really have a lot of is cap space. How do you feel like the market will treat those guys, and more importantly, whether or not they'll be back with the Falcons, any of them?
Yeah, Willie P., I think, you know, wasn't surprised. As time drug on, they said, you know, they'd address it after the Super Bowl, and, you know, that's been a month ago. And now, as it, you know, came up to the combine, it was pretty much that, hey, they're not going to have any money to do anything, or they haven't made any offers out to these people because they're up against the cap, and they were, you know, counting on being able to make some moves with salary cap restructures and so forth. But with the status of the CBA, you know, their hands are kind of tied, so they got to move forward like they're not going to have these guys, and that the people that they do have on the roster are going to have to step up, and they're going to have to draft some more people.
Are we going to have to do like the 2016 type draft? You know, remember, we joked around, D, about Arthur Blank going, I need three starters, you knuckleheads. Are we going to be in that kind of situation? It's kind of, they got to really swing for the fences this year?
Well, you got a linebacker. You got full Fourier. I don't think you have a tight end. So, I mean, you could play Luke Stocker there, but he's an older guy. I don't know if Jaden Graham's going to hold up. So you might have to take the tight end and then play those three. You got to get a running back because I'm not counting on them keeping Freeman from what we know and what they've said. So, yeah, Mike, that's two right there, at least two. And then, you might need a safe. You know, you need a defensive end, so that's three.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to get the three maybe. There's too many holes. You can't fill them all.
Talking with D. Orlando Ledbetter here, of course, on the WadeFord.com hotline, getting ready for what the Falcons might do this offseason, D. We've been talking with a lot of these cap guys, and it's funny how really cash-strapped the Falcons are, not just with the room that they have, but how little room they can create. How much room do you think they can create going into free agency, and if so, what can they create it to do with?
Well, I think I got it up to 30 when I was playing around with it. But, you know, that was restructuring, flat-out cut, and, not signing any of these players back. So, you know, you can move some stuff around and get to 30. Then you're going to need six for the draft class, so that's only 22. So then you could spend a lot of mid-range money on about four or five guys, but you don't have enough for one big guy. Which, you know, they might need. That would be Robert Quinn, the defensive end, you know, Rams and a few other different teams. He's been with Dallas. But I was hearing today from Miami people that had him down there said, no, y'all don't want that. Y'all away from that. So
right.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, that's another thing. D just kind of laid out some of the money moves that can be made. I mean, are we going to plug in another buster at guard in the offensive line? Because, you know, Brown and Carpenter couldn't stay healthy to do the job they were asked to do.
Yeah, no question about it. That was one of the things that me and Clayton were talking about today. I was like, hey, maybe they cut off Carpenter's hair and he finds some new strength and he becomes a left guard again. But he's like, what do you mean again? He was never that good in Seattle, so... I don't know. He's not the answer, but they got to start looking around the room, and somebody's got to put their hand up and go out there and play. I don't know if it's Matt Gatoka. So we argued about that all off season and so forth from Mike Mignot on Twitter. Somebody's got to come in here and protect the quarterback and maximize his prime at 35 and Julio's prime at 31.
Right.
Well, you know, we're going to be rolling down the same river again, that 7-9 river, that they've been stuck in since going to the Super Bowl. They've been 25-25 since the Super Bowl now.
Independent of the reverse Samson being done by James Carpenter, getting strength by losing the hair, do you think that left guard is something they look at in the draft? Or how high of a priority is offensive line in the draft here?
Yeah, it is very high. They got to get a left guard, but there's no left guard to take in the first round at 16.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully you can find somebody in the second that could play. I mean, there's no Quentin Nelson in this draft. There's not going to be a Quentin Nelson sitting at 16. They will overdraft. We've seen that before. based on their need, they'll draft some cat that, they could have gotten the second round or something. But, they'll address their needs, and they'll go to great lengths to do it. So, you can see a guard center come off the board maybe in the second round, maybe even in the first.
D. Led making me feel less positive about the $400 I bet on the Falcons to win the Super Bowl by the minute here on Dukes and Bell with Willie P. It's our big story with our man D. Led. All right, man. We talked about the safety and maybe best athlete at 16. How worried are you about Keanu Neal finally being able to put together a full season, D.?
Very worried, Mike, because I know from the research we've done with Achilles injuries, unfortunately, you know, going back to 10 years, we can go all the way back to Brett Grimes and Croy Dierman and Sean Weatherspoon blowing out both of them. that, you know, the first year back is not a year, it's 2 years. So he's got 2 years to come. And Ricardo Allen showed that last year with, you know, the diminished range he had coming back from the Achilles. So, you know, he should be okay this year. So, no, I'm just, you know, get him healthy. You can't really lean on him as a major contributor because of the injuries, but maybe you can get him into some situations, some big nickel, you know, with three safeties on the field, some linebacker on some rundown, just getting back to, you know, half of what he was, and then maybe by the time the season progresses, he's able to return 100%.
If there is a player among those who would be departing via free agency that the Falcons would consider a priority, who do you think that is, D?
Hooper. Hooper's gone. He's, you know, on social media complaining about he doesn't got an offer and this, that, and the other. I'm sure that's rubbing the team the wrong way. And I'm told he's going to have some pretty good suitors here if he reaches the open market. Dallas, Green Bay, Patriots are the good teams. And
right.
Then, you know, maybe one of the bad teams might throw some cash at him too. Washington, the Redskins, and Jacksonville. So the Redskins, you know, they lost Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed. You know, they were in the Greg Olsen sweepstakes with Seattle. And, you know, he went out to Seattle. So, you know, there are a lot of teams looking for a tight end. And some of them got enough to pay him $10 million a year.
Hey, D, before we cut you loose, because, you know, you're rubbing elbows with all the media elite, what do you know about the rest of the division? I mean, were you surprised about how banged up Cam Newton still is and what they're going to do up in Carolina?
No, I wasn't, because, I mean, you know, that Liz Frank injury is a funny one. We've seen guys have to retire because of that. So, you know, they're going to try to get him healthy, but that's a tough injury, especially for a big guy like him. You know, just Google Von Hutchins, Falcons cornerback. Jamal Anderson stepped on his foot, and then that was the end of his career with that Liz Frank injury. So, I was just waiting to hear if he got healthy or not, and I'm not surprised that it's taken a while. So, you know, they're doing their thing. Coach Rule's pretty fired up. He's got that college spirit. So, you know, maybe that never works in the pros, but it's still good to see. And,
D, I knew you were going to throw shade on Rule. All right, real quick, what about Tampa Bay, man? What's the quarterback going to be in Tampa Bay?
I think Coach is saying he's going to be okay, but the Tampa guys are saying they can't wait for him to leave. So, I don't know who to believe. My guys, Rick Stroud and them down there, think Jameis is gone at any point here. Ran into Sean Payton at St. Elmo's last night. And Mickey Loomis crew, they were out and about. They do the combine out real big. So they're happy Drew is coming back. So they're in good shape. Tampa Bay doesn't know what they're going to do. And, you know, they got the college coach up in Carolina, so that should be good for the Falcons for a few years. So he figures out that rah-rah stuff doesn't work in the NFL.
D is hanging out in Naptown. Hey, bring back some of that cocktail sauce from St. Elmo's while you're at it, bye.
Sure, no problem, Willie P. I got you.
Hey, man, that is some high-octane horseradish cocktail sauce. All right, D, have fun. Stay warm up there, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is D. Orlando Ledbetter, who joined us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We are here at State Farm Arena, Hawks and Magic tonight. More on the game and more on Atlanta United's victory as well coming up on
Time now for the Five Stripes preview.
The chip score!
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
Hey, man, it's our buddy Mike Conte. We're going to be doing this all season long, the Five Stripes preview. Mike Conte had a great call last night with Jason Longshore. We've been playing all the highlights, and he joins us right now. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Dude, it feels like this thing is just really clicking with Pitty because he seems like he's well-rested and he's got his good head on his shoulders and Barco and Joseph, and even Joseph like in a sort of a helping role if they're not on point all the time last night.
Well, I think you're right about Pitty and the fitness. It's easy to forget that last year when he came to Atlanta United, he had just completed a league season in Argentina and basically had no break. Came right from Argentina to the USA, played immediately for Atlanta United, went back to Argentina for some national team duty, got hurt, really slowed his assimilation into MLS because, quite frankly, he was tired and hurt. Well, he didn't really have that issue this offseason. Atlanta United, for the most part, fortunate, with one or two major exceptions, fortunate to get through this training camp healthy. And I think you're seeing the impact of a 3 or 4 month break with good health for Pitty Martinez in these first two matches against Mataqua. Obviously, a long way to go. But the body language looks very, very good. Pitty obviously looks very comfortable. He had two good goals last night. Atlanta United, a very complete effort in a 3-0 win to move on.
Mike Conte joining us here, man of many hats, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How surprised were you, Mike, and I think this is something we've seen over the better part of the last half year, but Joseph Martinez dropping back a little bit more, helping to not only defend but also set up the play in the midfield?
Well, not really surprised at all. That's something he does a lot. It just doesn't really get noticed. And I don't think there was a concerted effort for him to take a deeper position in the midfield or anything like that last night. It didn't really look unusual to me compared to what we're typically accustomed of seeing from Joseph. Joseph having a multi-assist game would be a little bit unusual, but that's just kind of the way that the match played out. And Mataqua came in playing 5-4-1. They were going to try to hit Atlanta United on the counter, try to limit risk, which was an unusual strategy because they needed to score a goal to move on. If they didn't score, they weren't going to go anywhere. A scoreless draw was going to knock them out. So unusual strategy. The alignment of where Joseph was on the pitch may have had something to do with that, at least initially. But you saw once the match opened up, once Atlanta United got that first goal, that Joseph was in kind of more of a free role in the attacking third.
It is Mike Conte, guys, with our Five Stripes preview brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Don't forget, we're going to be up in Nashville at the Tailgate Brewery. Can't wait for that. We're going to be doing the show, and you and Jason are going to have a special edition of Stoppage Time.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a lot of great guests from 4 to 6 Nashville time, 5 to 7 Atlanta time leading up to the Hawks game here on 92.9 The Game on Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun. It sounds like now Nashville, based on some tweets I've seen, they are opening up all seats now at Nissan Stadium, every seat available for sale because they keep selling tickets. They're getting close to the 50,000 mark now. They're just going to open it all up and sell as many seats as they can. And now, potentially, we can have a 55,000 or 60,000 seat sellout at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, which would be pretty cool to see.
And by the way, guys, when we're done talking to Mike, we're going to give away those tickets with 76 to get you on the bus. We got tickets in Nashville and a bus ride for you and a pal to go watch the Five Stripes take on Nashville in their in the opening of the franchise. Mike, what do we know about these guys? What is this going to look like on Saturday night? What is Nashville doing?
Yeah, so Nashville, they're interesting. They're an expansion team, but they've been in USL Championship each of the last 2 years. They kept some of that USL infrastructure intact, kind of similar to what Cincinnati did last year, where their technical staff from last year, some of their best players from last year are still on the team. But I think Nashville constructed their roster in a very intelligent way. And you hear Jason Longshore talk a lot about you have to care for the spine of your team. Well, Nashville did that. They have an experienced goalkeeper. They have a really strong veteran back line. They're four projected starters on the back line, I think, have combined for over 1,200 MLS appearances. And that includes Walker Zimmerman and Daniel Lovitz, two U.S. men's national teamers. They'll be good in the central midfield as well. So Nashville's going to be an interesting team to play against because it's not like an expansion team that just is very young and inexperienced. They're a little more veteran than a typical expansion team. And I would imagine there's a likelihood they're going to be feeding off the emotion of all those fans that are going to be at the match Saturday night. I mean, to play the first MLS match in club history at a potentially all the way sold out Nissan Stadium on national television, it's going to be an emotional cauldron that Atlanta United's going to be walking into. And Atlanta United, unfortunately, their record in MLS season openers is not very good. They've never won an MLS season opener. The last two they played in Houston in 2018 and then last year at DC United, not even close in either. So this is one of those matches where it's tricky because you're in the midst of CONCACAF Champions League play. You're still not 100% there with your visa issues and your injuries, so you might be a little bit shorthanded. I would not, if I'm an Atlanta United supporter, I wouldn't be looking at this match on Saturday and just chalking it up as three easy points because you're playing an expansion team. I think it's quite the opposite.
Well, the one thing I think that you and I said in a previous conversation, Mike, is that this is a more palpable beginning of season schedule than we've seen for the Five Stripes in recent years.
It is, although now it gets harder if you're going to be playing Club America. It gets a lot harder. So after this Nashville match on Saturday, you're going to play five matches over a 15-day span starting with that March 6th home opener against Cincinnati. And you're going to be traveling either to Mexico or to Guatemala in the midst of that. So that makes it tough. Yeah, you're right, Will. I mean, you don't have to play New York City and then, you know, Seattle and then Toronto the first 3 weeks of league play. You play Nashville, Cincinnati, SKC, and Chicago, and then Cincinnati again. I mean, that's about as manageable as you can get for your first five league games.
Right.
But with CONCACAF Champions League in the midst of that, it's tougher than it looks. And I think Atlanta United is mentally tougher at the start of this season than they were at this time last year, but it's still going to be very difficult.
It is Mike Conte, guys, with our Five Stripes preview. He and Jason, don't forget, a special two-hour edition, guys, of a Stoppage Time up there at the brewery. We're going to be live again, guys, having a blast at Tailgate Brewery and Music Row in Nashville. We'll be up there Friday. Carl will be back on the show. We're going to have a ball. And then, as Mike just said, they're going to be opening up Nissan Field. So even more United fans want to take a chance, get a hotel room somewhere up there, and come on up and join us. Mike, you mentioned defense. What do we know about Miles Robinson? I noticed Meza had a couple of turnovers last night, but what's the back line going to look like on Saturday?
I actually thought Meza was really good. I don't think Miles Robinson is going to play Saturday. I don't know that for sure, but it sounds like he might still be a little bit further off than is hoped. So I would not be surprised if you would see a 3-4-3 again with Escobar and Meza and Anton Walks, who has been outstanding, along with Escobar. I think Meza's been really solid. Atlanta United, you know, they gave up one goal in the run of play in this series, and it was a marking error by Mo Adams down in Honduras, one of those brief right. moments where you have a lapse of concentration. If you want to count the preseason, and I know some people will say, well, that's not fair, you can't really do that. Atlanta United's played seven matches, and they've given up, the first group, the first team has given up only three goals in open play in seven matches. They're defending very, very well, and I think that's something that's getting overlooked because everyone is excited about PB&J, Pitti and Barco and Joseph. I totally get that. But this team is going to win matches and potentially win trophies this year because of how they defend. And once you get that center back pairing of Meza and Miles Robinson intact, I think it's full speed ahead for Atlanta United.
Hey, esoteric question, Mike, before we cut you loose. What colors are we wearing on Saturday night?
They're wearing the stripes, red and black. And Nashville will be wearing all yellow. So it'll be ketchup versus mustard, I guess.
Okay, so not everybody's gotten the new white and gold, so that makes it a little bit easier.
You won't need it on Saturday, at least, and bundle up on Saturday. The forecast is improving, but they're still saying like low 40s, upper 30s for game time.
Speak for yourself, Mike Bell. I've got my Kings kit already, so go right ahead.
All right, Mike, great job, brother. We'll see you on Friday.
Okay, guys.
That's our Five Stripes preview brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Right now, guys, two tickets to Atlanta United versus Nashville. I'm getting hyped, man. February 29th, Saturday in Music City. Access to Atlanta United's pregame tailgate before the Nashville match. Presented by 76. It's going to be blast. Plus that round trip transportation. You and a bunch of Five Stripe pals going bananas. First person who can get through to Craig right now, 404-741-0929. Who scored the two goals for Atlanta United in our MLS Cup championship win over Portland? Who are the guys for the Stripes who put the ball in the net to win us our first title? First person to get through to Craig, you're on the bus with us.
Sports Friday night.
Weeknight, 7 to 11.
With John Chuckery.
If you don't go for it, how are you going to win? You don't win the lottery thinking of...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.